Thank you for visiting our website today. You are listening to one of our Sunday sermons from Grace City Church.
Okay. You know, we have been looking from Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11 is a very powerful chapter. It's a chapter that has recorded men and women before us. Men and women before us. If you believe, there is nothing new under the sun. I mean, it may come in different shape and different color and different form, but everything is about the is the same. You know, if you believe there's nothing new under the sun, then how they live out their faith in their generation, how they live out their faith, is how God wants us to live out our faith. And of course, if you look in Hebrews chapter 11, in the hall of faith, you look at the tremendous life they have lived, not for themselves, the tremendous life they live for God. And they are recorded there to become, you know, our inspiration. Not just only to inspire us, but to become our example. That if they can, we can. Say amen to that. If they can live by faith, we can live by faith. So the next five Sunday, you know, we want to look at Hebrews chapter 11. And we want to use five Old Testament characters, you know. And we want to look at them, how you can practically live out our faith. Because faith in God is not only for Sunday. You see, if faith for God is only on Sunday, confined in this room, then faith becomes religion. Faith must become something real in us. Because I believe, therefore, this is how I live. Because I believe, this is what I value. And so we want to look, you know, using five of these Old Testament characters, how they live out their faith. And I want to encourage you, you can live out your faith, you know, every day, every occasion, and every moment of the day. There's a Bible verse that we are very familiar with. We say this, the just shall live by what? By faith. The just shall live by faith. Not by sight. We all like to live in the natural, by our eyes. Not by feeling. Though feeling plays a very great part on us. And I must say that if you live by feeling, not every day your feeling is good. How many of you realize that? So you cannot live by sight. You cannot live by feeling. Then you must live by faith. And God does not want us to live by second guessing. I think so. I'm not so sure. No, guess. God wants us to be sure. You know. So when you live by faith, you know, just like the woman and man in Hebrews chapter 11, you will see that they lived their life powerfully for God, and they were faithful. Faithful men and women. This is what Hebrews chapter 10 verse 38 says. And he said it so well. But my righteous one, the one justified by faith. How many of us are justified by faith? We are all justified by faith, not by work. My righteous one, the one that is justified by faith, the one that God said, you are just before me. I receive you, you know. And those that are justified by faith shall live by what? By faith. Justified by faith, live by faith, respecting God relation, respecting man relationship to God, and trusting Him. What is living by faith? It is trusting what? God. It is having a relationship with God. And if He draws back, if He shrinks in fear, my soul has no delight in Him. Live by what? By faith. Not by fear. Faith and fear cannot coexist. One comes in, the other will go. If you welcome faith into your life, you must reject what? You must reject fear. You know? So there is a man that we're going to look at this morning, the first character in the Old Testament in this series. And the man is Moses. Moses has every reason under the sun to live with fear. But he chose to live by faith. So we want to look at Moses' life. How he is our example that when we live by faith, we can choose life choices. Life choices by faith. Life is all about what? Choices. Life is about the choices we make. And the choices of others sometimes also affect us. Because all choices have what? Consequences. The consequences can be directly or indirectly. It can be temporary or permanently. Now, remember, if life has consequences from our choices, God only holds us accountable for whose choice? For our own choice. For the choices we make. Even though the choices we make affect other people. You know, but when someone makes a wrong choice, it may become a burden to us. You know, it may become a disadvantage to us. But one thing for sure, they are accountable for their choices, not me. And God do not hold me accountable for the choices that people, other has made. So my first concern with life is the choices that I make. The choices that I make in life will make me. And it's one of the things I realize that sometimes in life there are so many choices. You know, it's like taking an examination. Answer A, B, or C. Multi answer. How many of you like that type of answer? I'm telling you, you'll be surprised. Those who go and take the highway code with A, B, and C, they fear. Because it's not so easy, because they all look so similar. So life is about choices, and sometimes there are multi choices, you know, and it's not easy to make those choices. Because those choices that are so similar can be quite confusing and anxious. But there's something about life. When the choice is, what drink do you want? You come to my house, you know, and I ask you, what drink do you want? It's not easy at all. Because when I ask you what drink you want, you can say, or I can ask you, coffee, tea, or water. Now there are three choices. And then, when you tell me coffee, I can ask you decaf or normal coffee. If you tell me I want tea, I can tell you Chinese tea or English tea. You know, and if you say, okay, I want coffee, then my question to you next is sugar or no sugar? Milk or no milk? You know, and if you say I want tap water, I would ask you just water or you want refresh? Hot or cold. So when I ask you what drink you want, the simple answer is, I'm okay. I don't need a drink. Because there are so many choices. Because sometimes, you know, the choices that we have to make about life partner is not easy. Life partner, it's like someone would say, you have chosen, don't complain now. Life partner is not easy, the choices you have to make. You know, how about career? Careers are not easy because in life, you hope that this path that you take will lead you to a promotion, will lead you to the path of the career you want. So what career do I want to choose? It's not easy. You know, moving from one location to another location, moving out of Singapore or out of Malaysia or out in another country to Australia, it's also difficult because it involves not just you, it involves others. So how do you choose? If life is about choices, how do I choose? You must choose by what? By faith. You choose by faith. So if you choose by faith, how do I choose by faith? Moses' parents choose by what? By faith. Moses choose by faith. The passage that we're going to look into right now in Hebrews chapter 11, 5 times is the word by faith used on Moses in this passage. 5 times. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child and they were not afraid of the king's command. 24. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasure of sin, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the anger of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover, the sprinkling of blood, lest he who destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attending to do so, were drowned. Let's pray. Father, we just want to commit this time to you that you help us to understand how we can choose our life choices by faith, O God. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So if life choices, I have to choose it by faith. That means I choose it believing God. I choose it believing in what God's word say. Choose it by believing what God's promise is. If I have to choose it by faith, I cannot choose it blindly. I cannot take the coin and touch God. Hey, I do this, till I do that. What do you think it will be great? How many of you think it will be great if you could touch the coin? In the Old Testament, when they are not sure, they will cast lot. You know that in the Old Testament, casting lot was a practice. God, this or not? Should we go forward or should we not go forward? They will take lot and cast. But in the New Testament, after the pouring of the Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, casting lot stopped. When they want to find a replacement for Judas, they cast lot to see who shall replace him. But when the Holy Spirit came upon them, no more is there casting lot. Say amen to that. So, well, how do we choose now if there's no casting lot? Well, we have to choose believing in the character of God. We have to choose believing what his words say. Do you understand that? And when we do that, we have to choose by what? By faith. By faith. But God does put some principles, guiding principle of how we choose by faith. And I want to share with you these 5 principles when you choose by faith. The first principle is good over evil. God, if I'm going to choose by faith with the choice that is before me, I always choose good over evil. Say amen. Right over wrong, life over death. Now, when Moses was born, Pharaoh has given a command. And the command was very simple. Every boy that is born in the Hebrew family, the midwife must take the boy and throw it into the river Nile, because God was blessing the Hebrew and they were growing. And Pharaoh and the Egyptian were afraid that they will outgrow them. So Pharaoh gave this command. Every boy born in the Hebrew family dies. In Egypt, there are many mixed wives, Egyptian mixed wives, that delivers baby. But there were two of them, two mixed wives, they decided, I'm not going to do what I'm commanded to do. I'm not going to do it. So what is the first choice? The first principle in choosing, that is to choose good over what? Evil. Now, both of them could easily justify themselves. Well, I'm under command. After other mixed wives are killing those boys, I should do the same because I'm being commanded. They could justify. You know, do you realize that I have found out in life, it's very easy to justify the wrong thing. It's how you want to see the picture, how you want to tell yourself. You can always justify your action. So they could justify their action. But both of them choose not to. Others carry out that command without second thought. But both of them choose good over evil, right over wrong, life over death. And because both of them have this principle in choices, to choose good, right, and life, the Bible tells us that God blessed two of this midwife. God blessed them. Choose good over evil. Moses' parents also have a choice. Should I keep this boy or should I not keep this boy? If I keep this boy, how am I going to stop him from crying? Baby cries. How many of you realize that? Some mother said, I can't sleep because the baby is crying every time. You know. So if I choose to keep this boy, then I'm going against the command of Pharaoh. And if I go against the command of Pharaoh, it's a life sentence, not just to Moses' parents, but also to Moses' family. You know. And so fear could easily grip them. But by faith, this is how the Hebrew Bible put it. By faith, that faith prompted the parents, that there is a prompting of faith. And when they were prompted by faith, they choose to obey who? Obey God. Then to obey Pharaoh. They choose to fear God than to fear Pharaoh. And the Bible tells us the reason why they choose to do that, because they saw Moses, and this is a beautiful child. I mean, which parent would say my children are not beautiful? Every parent would say my children is beautiful, and it's right. But when the Bible tells us that they saw him as a beautiful child, because they saw this child and said, there's something special about this child. In fact, in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen, the first martyr, was killed, he recited the history of Israel. And he talked about Moses. And what did he say about Moses? That Moses is beautiful to God. That somehow when the parents look at Moses, something caught their eye, something caught their heart. It's not just any parent that say, hey, my child is beautiful. There's something special about this child that is decided that I should keep this child. What was something special? At that time, the Hebrews were under great oppression. Pharaoh was oppressing them. And when you are under oppression, what do you look for? What do you look for when you are under oppression? You look for a deliverer. And so somehow when they look at this baby Moses, there is a sense of hope that this could be the one that God will use to deliver us. And that's why the parents was able to spot Moses. And Moses grew up to be a great leader in the Jewish history. He delivered the Jews from slavery. He was the lawgiver. He wrote 5 books of the Bible. By faith, his parents chose to save him. And because of that, it brought great blessing to the Jews and to us today. How did the parents do it? There's a fear.
But the Bible says, when they saw that child, there was a prompting. Faith prompted them. And when faith prompts you, faith inspires you, faith gives you hope, and faith was the heart to Moses' parents' decision. Faith that said, I will not fear Pharaoh, but I will trust God. I will put my faith in God. Faith that said, when the choice comes, I will choose good over evil, right over wrong, life over death. And because of what Moses' parents did, by faith, by keeping Moses for 3 months. And when they cannot keep him anymore, they put him into what? Into a basket. And let him go in where? If they can keep the child by faith, that means they must have released the child by what? By faith. And some of us parents, we need to release our children by faith. And if they can release the child by faith, who was there to pick up the child? Pharaoh's sister. You see, this is the power when you obey in faith. That when you obey in faith, you know, you allow God to act as God. And God will be able to do one thing after another thing. Because when you do it, just as Moses' parents did, it was not by chance. It was not by coincidence. It was by faith that God was able to engineer their faith so that Moses' life is spared. And one of the things you cannot imagine, why would God put Moses in Pharaoh's household? Can you understand that? God knows what he is doing. How many of you say amen to that? But you need to have faith in God. So my encouragement to every parent here, when you choose to live by faith, act by faith, and then in faith you ask God for your children, you ask God to say, God, make my daughter, make my son beautiful. Just like every great parent should pray. God honors your faith. And he will walk through his plan and purpose for them. When you entrust God, entrust your children to his care, and by faith teach them godly principles. By faith pray for them. By faith be example to them. Believe this. One day, what there is in there will come out. Say amen to that. So, life is about choices. How do I choose? Choose good over evil. Right over wrong. Life over death. The second guiding principle about choices is eternal over temporary value. Moses was set for life. He was set for life. He had everything set up for him. Now he's under the wing of Pharaoh's sister. He eats the best food. He enjoys the best environment. You know, he has everything that he wants. Best education, best connection, best opportunity, best honor and position. In fact, he has everything that he ever wanted or needed. How many of you like to be like Moses? I mean, set for life, man. No lack, no stress, no worry. This is the kind of life that Moses has. But in the midst of all this, something was amiss in his heart. Something was missing there. And that something is, who am I? Stays there. If you look at Moses, you know what's the term they use? One born with a silver spoon. But before that, it was this terminology, one born with a wooden spoon. Because those days, the spoon was wooden, while other people may not have spoon. from wooden spoon to silver spoon, you know, and now the latest is called golden spoon. Comes from the Asian concept. And now I look at all these spoons. The challenge for most of us, we are still using chopsticks. So, Moses is set for life. Why should I rock the boat? Just enjoy, keep quiet, and swim with the current of the best. But something stirred his heart. How did this thing stir his heart? God positioned him in the palace, and God got Moses' mother to nurse him. So something is stirring in his heart, you know. Because while the mother nursed him, his heritage, his root, and his people is something laying down in his heart. You see, Moses cannot erase who he is in his mind and his heart. Beneath the grandness of Egypt, the making of the prince of Egypt, there was something about him. He is actually a Hebrew boy inside. A Hebrew boy inside with a great call, a great day to be a great deliverer for God. So, he is living in this palace. He's enjoying all these temporary things. But something inside there is unsettled. The unsettled heart always have a crunch time. A crunch time. The tension that Moses has inside of him needs a decision, a choice. What choice would he make? Moses' decision was one of faith. By faith, he chose to share the oppression of God's people instead of enjoying the pressure of the passing pleasure of sin. Everything that Moses was taught by his mother, or who he was, who God is, lies inside there, quietly, buried inside. You know, one day, when the crunch time came, when he could not balance the act anymore, he could not continue living this way, he cannot want the best of both worlds. God and the world is not possible. One must give in, give way, and give up. This is what the Bible says about Moses. By faith. Moses, by faith. The Amplified Bibles use this word. He arose by faith. What it means? It means that all of a sudden, whatever that is inside there, or what he was taught and told, that is lying, sleeping inside there, all of a sudden, there was a faith awakening in him. A faith awakening. A faith that stirs him. The faith that is asleep, wake up. And now when faith awakening is awakening him, he cannot be passive. He has to be active. He cannot hide anymore. He has to be open about what he believes. What the parents taught him. Everything about God lies inside here. You know, parents, when we teach our children everything about God, we teach them the Bible. When the children church teacher teach them about the Bible, we see them sitting in church hearing about God's word. And you know where it all goes in? It's not lost, say amen. It's inside there. Buried inside there. You know. And our children who are second generation struggle between the world and God. Between what the parents say about Jesus, how we should live our life for God, and what their friends outside there, their peers say, come, join me, join me, join me, join me. They struggle inside there. Am I? What should I choose? But there's one thing for sure. Every second generation Christian, God has no second generation. God has only first generation. There will be a time of faith awakening. There will be a time where your children who have been taught the word of God, where you see nothing much is happening. I want to tell you, by faith, don't give up. By faith, continue to love them. By faith, continue to pray for them. By faith, continue to be an example to them. Because a day will come where they will have a crunch time. There will be an awakening in their spirit. There will be an awakening of faith in them. Well, they have heard about God. And what they have seen in your life will challenge them. Do I believe or do I not believe? Moses has a faith awakening. And I just pray that the faith awakening do not come from crisis. Crisis sometimes is a good way to wake people up. The crisis that we see from the wrong choices of our children wake them up about who God is. You know. So, Moses had this faith awakening and he decided by faith to choose eternal value over temporary value. Pleasing God over pleasing himself. Serving God over serving self. God over Egypt. The riches of Christ over the treasure of Egypt. He chose what which was for the future reward than what he presently can have. Moses, by faith, chose. The Bible tells us very clearly that Moses considered before he chose. He didn't choose blindly. He didn't touch the coin. He considered. That means what? That Moses sat down and he began to wait. He began to judge. He began to compare. He began to count. About God's or my or the world. He began to do that. He considered, that's what he means. He wait and he judge and he compare. And then when he did all this, he came to a conclusion. And this is a beautiful conclusion. And this is the conclusion that we must all have in our life. What was his conclusion? God is better than the world. Say amen to that. God is better than the world. God offers our weight what Egypt could offer him. I pray that we have the same conclusion that Moses had. And for us who have made that conclusion 30 years, 40 years, and maybe 50 years ago, I pray that you stick to that conclusion, amen, and don't change from that conclusion. God is better. If you struggle with your personal faith, it's because you have not come to that conclusion. But if you come to the conclusion, then grow in faith, for the just shall live by faith. Today, hear from a wise old man. The best choice, the only choice in life, is by faith, choose God over the world. Choose what is eternal over what is temporary, by faith. Because the decision today you make will visit you tomorrow and even sometime will visit your next generation. I want to do right so that my children and my children's children will be blessed of God. I want to do right. Choose eternity than temporary. The third guiding principle that Moses had was fear God over fear men. Who was Pharaoh? Pharaoh was the most powerful person in Egypt. In fact, Pharaoh was treated as God. He was both God of the political world and God of the religious world. Pharaoh was the high priest of every temple in Egypt. He ruled the upper and lower Egypt. So for a man like Pharaoh, you want him to be your friend and not your enemy. Not Moses. The Bible tells us in Hebrew that he was motivated by faith. That faith not only prompt you, faith not only awake you, but faith also motivate you. You know, faith moved Moses, faith inspired him, faith prompted him. And when that happened, he said, I will fear God rather than fearing men. I will fear God rather than fearing Pharaoh. Because the fear of man bring a deceptive power over you. It immobilizes you. It stops you to act. It silences your voice. That's why the Bible tells us very clearly in Proverbs 29 verse 25, the fear of man lay a snare, but whosoever trusts the Lord is saved. Moses said, look, fear Pharaoh or fear God? I choose God. Because Pharaoh is temporary. God is what? Permanent. This is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28. Do not be afraid of those who want to kill your body. They cannot touch your what? Your soul. Fear only God who can destroy both soul and body in hell. So Moses said, I will not fear Pharaoh, but I will fear God. And how does he live in that way? Is the other continuing verses. That Moses overcame the fear of man by what? By faith. He kept on going because he kept his eyes on the one who is invisible. That Moses said, I'm not going to fear Pharaoh. I'm going to fear God. And so he kept on what? He kept on going. And how did he keep on going? The Bible tells clearly that the only reason he could keep on going because he has his eyes on who? On God. If you have your eyes on Pharaoh, you will fear Pharaoh. But his eyes was on who? On God. Who is your focus? He put his focus on God. And because his eyes was on God and not on man, his eye was on God and not on his situation, his eyes was on God, what God could do, not what man could do. Today, by faith, overcome the fear of man. Sometimes, it's their face. Have you ever looked at somebody, you get frightened, their face? Ooh, their face is so fierce. Sometimes it's just the fear of their face. Their threat, or the fear of their disapproval. By faith, overcome all this and obey God and fear God, not man. Because Moses said, I will choose with life choices, fear God. And then he kept his eyes on God and kept on going. Because God is the author and the finisher of his faith. Fourth point, the fourth principle. How do you choose? Obedient over disobedient. Somehow, because of our fallen nature, there is a DNA in us to disobey. The DNA in us to disobey. Don't need to teach a child to disobey. Naturally, they will cross the line. They said that when you bring up a child, the word no is the most common word a child hears while growing up. Because it takes faith to obey parents. Say amen. It takes faith to obey authority. It takes faith to obey God. One of the great theologians who died during the Nazi reign. You know, this theologian, Bonhoeffer, is it? Said this, for faith is only real when there is obedience, never without it. And faith becomes faith in the act of obedience. What did Paul say? Paul called it the obedience of faith in Romans 10, 16:26. That our faith, our belief must be seen in our obedience. Anything less is unbelief and disobedient. So what is obedient? It's the result of believing, committing, and trusting God's word, trusting God's character after you have that faith that has been established in your heart. Trusting God. The Amplified Bible put this way. By faith, simple trust and confidence in God. The God that Moses simply trusts and obeyed God. When God asked him to make the sacrifice of the Passover, kill the animals and put the blood at the door so that the firstborn will not be killed. Have they ever done that before? Never done it before. You see, if you have done it before, it's easy to do. But when you don't do it before and God asks you to do it, it takes what? It takes faith. And so, when God asked him to do it, he took faith. Faith to apply the blood on the doorpost so that the destroyer will not kill the firstborn, so that they will be spared. Because they never did this before. But Moses obeyed. And because Moses obeyed, those that obey live. Those that did not obey Moses die in unbelief. For us, we are on this side. We read the Bible. Oh, you see? You see? Yeah, they should have done this. They should have done that. We are on this side. We have a good picture. But for them at that time, it takes faith to believe God when he said, kill the lamb. Put it on the doorpost. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. Faith is the confidence that we hope for. Is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. By faith, Moses obeyed. By faith, the Israelites obeyed. And God reward their faith. Maybe you are struggling with obedience. The Bible calls it the obedience of faith. Like Moses, simple faith, simple trust, simple confidence in God. Not too much why and how. They only confuse your faith and his word. By faith, obey. And then when you obey, the why and the how will work out. Because the just shall live by faith, walk by faith, not by sight, not by feeling, not by having all the answers. You know, if I tell you that only when you have all the answers from God, then do it, you will never do it. You will never do it. But when God speaks to your heart, when the Bible says so, just obey by faith. And what does it do? When I obey, I untie the sheep and I set up the seal and allow the Holy Spirit to lead me from here to there. But if I don't obey, God cannot do anything. The last point, the last principle about life choices is this. Go forward over dying. The choice to go forward over dying. Interestingly, when I look at those businesses in the world that refuse to go forward, they all die. There was one time, Nokia phone. How many of you used to have Nokia phone? I mean, 95% of people all use Nokia phone. And remember that time, everybody is a Nokia. You know, Polaroid camera, one time. Kodak, IBM, and if you are in Australia long enough, one time Ansett Airline was everywhere, flying. Where are they now? Where are they now? They all died. What is true with businesses is also true with our life. Physically, emotionally, and spiritually, we must always go forward. Staying where you are is not an option. It's a trap of slow and sure death. It's easy to stay where you are and complain about your life. Why not do something about it? A few weeks ago, Pastor Kara and me, we talked about the monkey on our back. I hope you got the monkey off your back. Israel and Moses have the Egyptian behind them. The Egyptian is riding the best horse of Egypt. They are trained and skilled army pursuing them and their family. What chance do they have? The people start to complain and murmur. Only two things to do. Stay and die, or by faith go forward and live. The Amplified Bible used this word about faith. That urge on by faith. Urge on by faith. Moses and the Israelites went forward and escaped death. By faith, as they stepped into the water, the sea parted as promised. But when the Egyptian came, and when they stepped into the water, they drowned in the sea. The urging of faith, urging you to go forward, urging you to release and to forgive, urging you to trust, urging you to obey. Have you ever felt that urge in you before? This is how you practically live out your faith in life choices. Moses did. Moses' parents did. They all did everything by faith. They choose by faith. They value eternity by faith. They obey by faith. They fear God by faith. They went forward by faith. Faith in what? Faith in God, in His promise, in His character. And that's why their name is Hebrew chapter 11. Their name is placed in Hebrew chapter 11. What would history write about you and your life? The choices that you make. So I encourage you, by faith, choose. Always choose good over evil. Always choose eternal over temporary. Always choose fear God over fear man. Always choose to obey over disobedience. Always choose to go forward over dying. Why don't we pray as we come to communion this morning?
This is the end of the message. We trust you have been blessed and encouraged from today's sermon. Please contact the church by email or call in with the phone number shown on the website if you need any help or would like further information about the church.